You're listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Now, here's your creepy host.
Welcome to a special edition of the Creepcast, and today's show we're going to chat with Bria Grant and Nakia Gambi-Turner from their film 12 Hour Shift. That's actually out everywhere right now, October 2nd, as you're listening to this. But we get to talk to director and writer Bria Grant and actress Nakia Gambi-Turner about their new film that includes black market organ harvesting. Let's set it up a little bit, shall we, with a synopsis of what the film's about. Angela Bettis is in this, who you probably know mostly from, or most notable, I should say, from May. But she plays Nurse Mandy. She's desperate to get through her double shift without any incidents, except for the problem with that is she's a part of a black market organ harvesting scheme within a hospital. And that sounds dark. But somehow, Bria Grant has written a script and casted the perfect set of characters, I feel like, to pull this off, to make it almost a really black, dark comedy with some dramatic elements in. Chloe Farnworth also stars in this, as well as David Arquette, but just really cast perfectly. There's also a character named Mr. Kent, who you will hear me refer to in the interview here in a second with Bria and Nakia. But everyone, check out 12 Hour Shift. It's out right now for Magnolia. Without further ado, let's jump in to our interviews for today. All right, I'm pleased to welcome to the Creepcast Bria Grant and Nakia Gambi-Turner. First, thanks so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on to chat about your film, 12 Hour Shift. I was able to check it out, yesterday. I really, really liked it. It was a blast considering it's a horror film about harvesting organs on the black market. Who knew that could be fun, huh? So
apparently me, but I...
Right, yeah. Well, good job bringing that to life. So, but Bria, I wanted to kick things off with you. I know that you drew upon, I can't wait to hear this. I hope it's the answer I have in my head. But I wanted to ask you, you drew upon some inspiration for Lucky with some unfortunate circumstances in your life, you were able to bring that into a film. So I'm just curious, was there anything that you drew upon for 12 Hour Shift that may have happened in real life or that you researched? I'm just curious what brought you to black market organ harvesting.
Are you asking if I got my organs harvested?
maybe. I don't want to spoil some questions later, but...
or did I just harvesting? But there is a story that I grew up with about that I have kind of kept in my head about a nurse who killed her patients using bleach during dialysis. And stuck with me. And I do sort of like these, I use that in quotes, but this is a horror podcast, so I can say this. I'm interested in stories about female killers. And that one has always kind of stuck with me as one that is kind of bizarre and crazy. And, we do a little bit of a nod to that story in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. See, not what I was hoping. I was really hoping for,
I'm sorry, listen, I have both of my kidneys intact.
I'll have to look up this story that you just talked about though. But, Nikki, I want to talk about your character for a second, because I felt like without spoiling anything, it provided some levity amongst these like cast of characters that are just odd but enjoyable in their own right. But she felt like the one I would actually hang out with, because you felt fun and normal. And so even though you're doing black organ harvesting on the black market, you still felt normal to me. I don't understand how. So the question that I really had for you, was there a backstory that you or Bria or anyone was able to explore with the characters, especially yours, because you're in the film quite a bit, but I really don't feel like we get to know a ton about you. It's not needed necessarily for the story. So I'm just curious if you guys dove deeper into any of those characters and we just didn't get to see that come on screen.
I think, you know, to be, well, I am a player in it. Yeah. It is my ring. I'm in charge, but it's a story about Mandy and her and her F up, right? So I'm trying to answer both, like it's kind of a twofold question.
Yeah.
Bria and I definitely discuss backstory a lot because I like it to inform my performance as well. And we would talk about how, you know, I would like to see that show or I wonder what's going on with her. You wanna have that too because you wanna know, well, what's happening with Karen over there and how come, you know, what is she doing when all this stuff is going on, right? Yeah. But I feel like Karen has probably already thought about these kind of scenarios. And or if she was to get caught or if something like this was to happen. So I think she figured out how to keep herself out of it and let it kind of manage itself. And then when she has to step in, she will. So Mandy, you know, and there was a couple of times where she did make sure that Mandy had it under control. Mm-hmm. Like there's the kitchen scene. There's the, you know, my
nurse station.
Desk, there was a scene there where I was just making sure like, we're okay. Are we okay? Do I need to step in? Because if I have to step in, that's going to be something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we were discussing it, you know, because this is my life. This is, you know, I can't afford to have any of this fall back on me because this is my life. We were talking about it earlier and I was like, I don't believe Karen has a life outside of what's happening in this hospital. This is her life. This is her business. This is her career. This is her happenings. This is everything that she's always wanted. And she doesn't really have much at home, which is why she's fine with doing extra shifts and all that kind of stuff because she's in charge and she likes being in charge.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got her stuff together for sure out of all the characters.
About the mania part of it and kind of keeping those two together. Someone has to be kind of the same person. That's the thinker because my friend is on drugs. And her cousin is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be the voice of reason to hold all the glue together.
Yeah, the characters were so interesting in this. I hesitate to ask, but was there anyone that you based anything off of in your life? Not to name names, but was there characters? Because they're so unique from like Mr. Kent, which I'll get to later. Was there anything that you based kind of this character set off of, or was it just having fun with the script?
No, I mean, I grew up in a small town in East Texas, and all of the characters are based in some way, shape, or form on people that I've known, and some are an amalgamation of people, but you know, when you grow up in a small town, people are quirky, and I don't know if it's that the town makes them quirky, or that, like, you just know everything about them.
Yeah.
So you kind of learn all of their quirks. And I just wanted to give these people as much life as I have seen in the people in my own life. And the one thing I really wanted people to take away from this movie is to ask where the other people are throughout the movie. So specifically, Mr. Kent is a character who, like, you see sort of at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end. But I want people to say, like, what was he doing for the last 12 hours? Because he's such an interesting character. And you really can't do that unless you have really great actors who can bring these characters to life, which I was very fortunate enough to have just an amazing cast.
Yeah, everyone really honed in on their character, I felt like. It was great. And yeah, Mr. Ken, I definitely was wondering what the hell was up with that guy. So.
Okay. He's someone. It doesn't have to be me, but I would like to see like what his spinoff movie is. Right. Like, what is
he for sure. Yeah. What inspired you necessarily to pick the setting of Arkansas? Is it the small town background? And then I'm also curious about the Y2K time frame. What made you frame it in that? That maybe added to the film, or was just an interesting time for you?
The script was originally written to take place in East Texas. It was based in East Texas, but my producers are from Arkansas, and they found this hospital location in Arkansas that we could control. And we decided to shoot there. And like, just shout out to Arkansas. They're very friendly to films and have a tax incentive as well. So we went and shot in Arkansas, and it was a wonderful experience. I can't say enough good things about shooting in Arkansas. And Y2K, so I was a teenager during Y2K, and Yeah, and I was truly convinced.
I was not a teenager.
I was truly convinced the world was going to end. And this movie has a lot of references to various urban legends throughout as Easter eggs, but also the kidney story and various storylines, and it kind of lend itself to this, to urban legends. And Y2K to me has become sort of an urban legend because we thought the world was going to end and then it extremely did not. Nothing happened.
No, very boring.
And so I thought it was just interesting to throw one more sort of time period urban legend into the scenario.
It's funny that the lore kind of based around Y2K was just like a background thing to everything else that was happening because it was so dark. It was like, oh yeah, this thing over here where the world's going to end. It's like, no, we got our own stuff to deal with here.
The world is ending over here. Right. In this hospital.
I would love to see some sort of DVD, like special feature of just one episode of that morning show. Yeah. And see how that plays out. And I'd also love to just see like Mr. Kent randomly walk through the set like during a weather.
His questions for everyone. Lovely Morgan Peter Brown does the morning show the morning show after at the end. And we had a lot of jokes written into it and we shot it with a bunch of jokes and ended up having to pull a lot of them out because it just felt like so much to add in more jokes during this morning show of like,
yeah,
we wanted the night to end like on a little bit more of a somber note, but bless him. He shot it a bunch of different ways so we could do that.
Nakia, Bria was quoted once as saying she loves to empower her actors and kind of let them do what they want with the character. Bria, you can confirm this. So keeping that in mind, and I don't want to harp on Mr. Kent, but your scenes with him are great, right? Like, they're kind of the highlights of the lull, the up and down, the roller coaster of the story. And I'm just curious how much improv you were able to use with those scenes or somewhere else based on what Bria likes to do with her cast.
The brilliance of Bria Grant is she's a fantastic writer. So we didn't really have to step too far away from the script for it to be funny or fun. I would say with
Tom.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. With Tom and I, I'm just trying to think about it because we didn't do a lot of improv-ing. But I think we did. I think we did.
It felt like you might have, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or that just speaks to how well we bring the character to life. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Prop of exasperation, like you always add in one more like come on, like it's an end that I always use, right. Like it was that nice transition out that's not in the script that you knew the scene needed a button,
yeah,
and you would
I am a button girl, yeah, I like to make sure that it feels like it's an actual conversation, not just me saying what's supposed to be said. But I want you to always feel like you're with me and in with me. So, and Tom is very good about that too. So we had a lot of fun in those exchanges because he's, number one, he's hilarious. And it took a lot for me to just not even laugh at him while we're working because he's a genius at that guy. He's a genius at that character. And it was a lighter little fair because I was dealing, with such, deepness over here, mm-hmm. and still trying to find the funny in there. But again, I can't remember. I think because I was so in it, I can't remember what was improv or not. So.
Well, it turned out great. So great job. So we're going to get a little darker. It's been a little fun. The questions for both of you. So if you had to harvest an organ from someone, could you do that in a life-threatening situation? And I'll give you an out here a little bit. It's still dark. Or if you had to give up a limb and you'd be okay with it, which would you do? Harvest an organ or give up a limb?
I know the answer to this, by the way. Okay. I'm actually, I don't like talking about this, but I am a little, I have a weird phobia about losing my limbs. I have like a fear of it.
Is there a word for that?
I don't know.
Is it called fear of limbophobia?
Fear of limbophobia.
It is now.
I'm sure somebody could tell me. it would definitely be harvesting an organ. And I have done a little research on kidney harvesting because.
Okay, here we go.
So I think I could harvest a kidney. I mean, it's interesting, by the way, the movie really hinges on the fact that you have to go into the back to harvest someone's kidney, and you actually don't. Don't tell anyone that that is a faulty reasoning. You can actually do it from the front, and they normally do in a hospital setting.
Really?
These days? Yeah, which I learned later.
Okay.
after it was written, because it does kind of hinge on the fact that you have to go in the back for many reasons, but you can't go in the back, and I think I could do it. I would worry about the blood loss. Is there an organ that's like close to the
artery or something?
I mean, the kidney is the only one that you don't really.
Oh wait, we're harvesting our true. Own organs?
No, somebody.
Oh no, somebody else's. Somebody else's. Yeah.
Okay, I do have an answer for this now.
Okay.
So I would definitely harvest an organ from someone else because I've already lost something. I have breast cancer, so I've already lost my boobs. I'm not losing anything else.
On my yeah.
So I'm fine with it. And here's what's weird. I probably would do a really great job at it, even though I don't know what I'm doing.
You know what? I'm actually going to agree with that.
It's just like...
enough to know like that yeah I agree like if I was to let one of the two of us do the harvesting
it would be me.
It would actually be you.
Yeah.
And in any other scenario I would say me. I would anybody else you pair me with I'd be like no I'm the one harvesting except maybe Nakia.
Yeah,
it's just like a game of Operation that we played as a kid. It's just like
but I feel like I have a lot of useless information in my mind, and I watch things like to an extent and sometimes it just comes back to me. Like I was on a show totally off. I was on 911 and I had to deliver a baby and I was like, yeah.
Now you can do it in real life.
You're so good at this. Have you done it before? I was like, no, first time.
Now you can do it in real life, just in case. Yeah. So I'm curious, what are you guys doing for Halloween this year? Because that's something that I keep asking myself. We're doing something for Panic Fest. We're doing a little Halloween celebration over the weekend. But I'm curious what everyone else is doing because it's not the same as it normally would be. Are you guys hanging out, having parties, doing watch party?
I think we're more in quarantine than y'all are.
Yeah, we should be.
Yeah,
you should.
Let's be honest.
Go into quarantine. We would like to be done with this.
I know.
I'll be in quarantine. I'll be at home, probably watching movies.
I'll be at home too. I love Halloween, but not like that. So I can take it or leave it.
Yeah. Well, our event will be virtual at least. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Normally every year I go to all of the haunted houses in LA. I go to like Universal and Not Scary and stuff. And this will be the first year that we're not doing it, which is a huge bummer because it's something my boyfriend and I really look forward to.
They have a
horror movie person. I'm so scared.
Oh, yeah.
So scary.
You're scary or scared?
I'm scared and scared. I'm like,
no. But you were in Lucky too, right? So.
Yeah, you're too homie.
I know.
You're gonna get in.
I enjoy it.
And yeah, you need to be. Yeah, you're gonna start getting the horror movie phone calls.
Yeah,
I love that. I mean, I'm fine with that because I actually, you know, it's weird. I'm enjoying being in this genre. It's really fun.
Well, let's kind of follow up here and wrap it up a little bit with what projects you guys have coming up. Bria, I know you have a ton on your plate right now, including Personal Friend that has a film that's coming out very soon, The Stylist at Fantastic Fest. So I just want to hear what you guys have coming up.
I forgot to plug that earlier. But yes, I'm in a movie called The Stylist, directed by Jill Six. And it is premiering at Fantastic Fest, and then it's playing a couple more virtual festivals. And it's great. I watched it for the first time, I think about a week ago, and it's a great, horror movie. And she's a real talent. I was very honored to be a part of that project. And then, this comes out, and then I have a graphic novel coming out the same week this comes out. Weirdly, it's called Mary, and it's like a YA sci-fi horror graphic novel. And then Lucky, which Nikki is also in, which I wrote and I'm in, comes out next year on Shudder.
Awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. Eric was just telling me about Stylist. He got to watch it for the first time. And Eric and Jill, Eric writes for the site still, Jill used to. So it's awesome to see what those guys are doing. And it was great seeing you guys at Panic Fest. I'm happy to finally see that come out. But Nikki, what do you have coming up?
Well, this comes out.
yeah.
And then I don't really, you know, it's kind
things
of
are
like,
weird right now.
Yeah. I've been auditioning a lot though.
Oh, okay.
I hope it's because of this film and people are hearing this. You know, because I'm still very kind of a baby to this. That's why I think I'm also so excited about everything still. I'm still like, oh my God, this is happening. What are we talking about? This is so fun. So I'm definitely that.
That's great. And like I said, I felt like your character kind of stood out amongst these odd set of characters. Along with the Mandy character, and so I think that's great, and I hope you do. I hope you do get into the horror niche.
Watch, and I would love anybody want to put me in another horror film. I'm fine.
Or maybe do some voice acting, podcasting, something like that.
Do some podcasting.
Well, also, yeah. You might. She's in also all the Folgers commercials.
Oh yes.
So like, to be fair, she's like the face of Folgers right now.
Okay. The bathroom, you've seen it.
Now everyone's like, that's where I've seen that face before. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me today. Magnet's releasing 12-Hour Shift in theaters and on demand October 2nd. But thanks again for joining me. Stay safe. Looking forward to 12-Hour Shift and all the other projects you have coming out. So great talking with you today.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.